We're at the Sleon Productions podcast. Really excited to be here. I have a special guest I met at Work Camp Miami about a couple months ago. Work Camp 2019, March in FIU. And we had a podcast panel. And we were talking about podcasting tools, what to do, how to monetize, how to increase your viewership. And then I met a audience member from the WordCamp, and she asked me questions about, you know, podcasting. And hey, she's a guest in today's show. Give us a quick introduction of yourself.
Okay, so hi guys, thank you so much. Thank you so much for having me. My name is Diamond Leone, and yeah, I was just attending WordCamp to learn more about how to redo my website and things like that. So a little bit about me is I have a real estate background, so, you know, in sales, and I've you know, been transitioning over to, you know, wanting to get a book published and, you know, writing a book, more in the personal development, women empowerment type genre. Mm-hmm. And so there's a lot that has gone into it, but that's kind of the simplified version of it, is that I just wanted to make this huge transition. But there's so much. I mean, I had like a fashion blog before, and it was kind of like a personal development, you know, empowerment, women's empowerment, fashion type blog before. But then as my real estate business started to really pick up, and I'm a real estate investor, so that whole side of it started to really pick up. I bought more properties and just became very quickly overwhelmed. So the whole, you know, fashion stuff, empowerment stuff, just kind of had to be put on the back burner. But it crushed me to do it. But I you know, sometimes you get to a point where you're just overwhelmed and you have to choose. And so I had to choose. And so, but I never forgot about it. It was something I always wanted to do. So I ended up sort of scaling the real estate back. And now I'm focusing 100% on the getting the book, you know, published. First I got to finish writing it, editing it and all that. But so yeah, but I'm back to filming for my YouTube channel, and the videos are more like topic specific, like things that we struggle with, you know, and not just women, but it is, you know, I guess mostly geared towards women. But so, you know, things like overcoming challenges, or like, you know, when your kids go off to college, what does that feel like? You know, being an empty nester, starting a business. How do you start a business? What kind of business do you want to start? Why do you want to start it? You know, how do you, you know, set up the technology? Do you hire an assistant or not? So I have years of experience in the business world that I'm now bringing over into, you know, helping and serving others. I thought of something this morning I thought was really neat, the way that it hit me. You know how sometimes things hit you. I thought, you know, I spent the first half of my life like grinding, busting my ass, working hard. You know, it was all about the money. It was all about, you know, just being in the thick of it. You know, I guess carving out a life for myself. And now I'm on the other side, which is all about giving back, all about inspiring, teaching, educating, empowering, you know, showing what I did, showing what I've learned. And I'm still learning, but I can show what I've already learned. And I've paid attention along the way. I've learned from a lot of really amazing people. I've read tons and tons of books, attended lots and lots of workshops. And so it's really interesting how you can learn all this stuff as you're going, but it's not until you get to a point in your life where you're able to slow down that you really absorb it. Like, what the heck is that all about? Like, it's just like a sick joke, but it's just, yeah, the way it works. It's like now that I am, you know, slowing down a little bit, and purposefully so, like I've had to, like, you know, take things off my plate and reprioritize my entire life, but first my mind, and get really clear about what I want,
right,
before I leave this earth. And so there's a whole, you know, I'm really simplifying it, trying to give like the macro version of it, but there's this whole sort of, you know, mindset that went into, you know, giving my life a huge enema and just trying to like get everything out of my life that's not important, that isn't serving me, that isn't, you know, conducive to my goals and what I want to accomplish, and just reinventing myself. That's pretty much what I'm doing right now. So when someone says, oh, what do? I'm like...
That's a loaded question, isn't it?
You got 20 minutes? Because that's how long it's going to take.
Yeah, that's why you're here. You know? Yeah, it's interesting because...
I need to condense that.
Yeah, yeah. And it's interesting because this podcast, I am actually getting to know you a lot. And, and I've been following your Instagram. And I saw your part about encouragement.
Right.
And about, you know, giving back. But I didn't know about the real estate investing.
Yes.
How'd you get into that?
Okay. So this is, I'm gonna tell a very long story very quickly. So when I was a kid, my mom was a real estate investor. She was one of the people, one of the, you know, you remember, maybe you're a little bit too young, but like a long, long time ago, they had people who would do low money down, no money down real estate type deals. And so she was in that whole movement when that was all really popular. So she was learning all of that. And so she was one of the first licensed female home improvement contractors in the District of Columbia. And so she would buy these houses and she would fix them up and she would flip them, or she would buy them up, fix them, and then rent them out. So she was like a landlord slash investor. So as a kid, like I was, you know, firsthand watching my mom write contracts and negotiate contracts and all that kind of stuff. Like, I remember being really little and she was explaining to me what time is of the essence means. And I'm like, why are you telling? Like, I don't care, you know? And then as I got older, you know, of course, you know, you realize why, you know, certain phrases, you know, clauses are in contracts. Okay, so then to make a long story short, I ended up, you know, going to college, which my mom was like, is the stupidest thing you could ever want to do. I'm like, what parent tries to talk their kid out of going to college?
That's, she was, rare,
like, yeah. Back then, she was like, college is the stupidest thing. You're just going to end up in so much debt. Don't do it.
Which, it's true today.
It's true today. Like, she knew. Like, it blows my mind all the stuff that she freaking knew. And and
you,
I was,
didn't,
like,
listen? You're just like,
no, of course not. I'm like, I'm not listening to you. I'm gonna go get my college degree because that's what everybody else is doing. So I did that, but what I did it in a smart way. What I did was I ended up going to college and working full time the whole time. So I graduated with no student debts.
That's a smart one.
And I graduated like a year early because I did an accelerated program that they had where you could get up to an entire year of college credits for life experience in business. So I pretty much like tested out of all the business classes, so to speak, through my life experience and starting businesses and running businesses and, you know, being self-employed and all that kind of stuff. Mm. So I still have that book. It's like this thick that I wrote. It's called, the program was called Excel at the University of Maryland. And from what I understand, and don't quote me on this, but from what I understand, no one had ever gotten the full 30 credits for that class. Like, you know, some people got, you know, maybe 12 or whatever, but I got the full 30 plus the 3 credits for the course itself. So I got 33 credits, which wiped out a whole year of college. So, but no debt. So it was a little bit of a compromise with what my mom was saying, but...
Yeah, because, you know, kids back then, they don't... You know, when they go to college, they don't think about debt. Like,
no,
the,
no, they don't. Isn't
you
it
were
sad?
Thinking about that?
Oh, hell yeah! In fact, what I did was I found purposefully an employer who had a kick-ass tuition reimbursement program, and I maxed that sucker out every quarter. Wow. It was like, I think it was like $2,500 or something like that a quarter, and I just kept maxing it out. And they were like, "What? Wow, you really like school?" I'm like, "Yeah, I'm just trying. I'm on a mission."
Were you working back then?
Yeah, full time.
What
so,
were you doing?
Okay, so at that company where they had the really great tuition reimbursement program, it was called Franklin Acceptance Corporation, and it was basically a secondhand credit company for people who had really crappy credit but still wanted to get a car loan. And they would charge like 19% for a car loan. It was highway robbery. I don't even know if it's legal to charge that these days.
They were making money back then.
They were doing it. Yeah. And so I ended up working my way up to being a credit analyst for them, where I would be the one reviewing the loan applications and verifying all the information on the application and making sure whether or not this person could really afford the car.
And that stage, you learn about credit.
I learned about credit. I learned about people, how they lie, you know, on applications, which, by the way, is a really good point. When I later got, okay, so back to the real estate. So I didn't want to have anything to do with real estate other than you know, buying my first house before I was 18. That's another whole story. That's We could be here all day. But yeah, and I ended up renting out all the rooms in it and making more money than I was making at a job. But that doesn't. So anyway, I wanted to go to college. I wanted to like get out of the rat race of dealing with tenants and all that kind of stuff, right? And I was young. I was really young. So ended up getting rid of that house and getting rid of the tenants and the roommate situation and all of that, going to college, living a little bit more of the traditional, you know, lifestyle, if you will. And then years later, after I, you know, got married, had two children, I was a stay-at-home mom, and I just really was not meant to be a stay-at-home. I love my kids. I love kids in general. Like, yeah. I feel like I should have had more kids. But I just was not like stimulated being a stay-at-home mom. And they didn't have, and I feel like I missed it, and maybe I could have, you know, been better, but they didn't have like, or at least I didn't know about like all the blogging and all that kind of stuff that they have now, where mm-hmm. a lot of like stay-at-home moms can start a business and stuff at home while they're raising their kids. Mm-hmm. It wasn't that easy back then. It mm-hmm. was, I was in that little like weird gray area before technology really got where it was, you know. So
what years was that, if you don't mind me asking?
No, I don't mind. Okay, so let's see, this was in, my son was born in 98 and my daughter was born in 2000.
Yeah, that's a stage was
it's gray. Like gray, it was gray. Yeah,
blogging came until like 2001 2002.
Yeah,
if you knew about it,
but by then it was too late. Exactly. And even then, like the technology and like the website, like I don't even know what they were using. It I don't think it was WordPress.
No, it was just HTML and GeoCities.
Yeah,
and
like, no.
And good luck if you know that.
Good luck if you knew that. Yeah. So what I ended up doing is I was like, you know what, I want to do a job where I can create my own hours but yet still be there for my kids. Because being there for the kids was like my number one priority. And my husband was self-employed and ran a business. And so it was just, he was spent with his time. There just wasn't a lot of like leftover time. So I wanted to do something where I could really be there for the kids too. Mm-hmm. So I got my real estate license, which by the way, the first time I got my real estate license was when I was 18. Wow. And interest rates back then, I want to say were like 17% to buy a house.
Wow.
Yes. And I remember having to cold call people, you know, to try to, you know, ask them if they were interested in selling their house or buying a new house out of the Yellow Pages. So I was 18 and I was like trying to make those calls and they were slamming the phone down in my face. Man, I got rejected so early in the game.
Wow, you hustled hard back then.
Oh, yeah.
Is it because of your mom, like that?
Yes.
That same spirit?
Yeah, she was a single mom raising three kids on her own.
Of course.
So, and we were poor. We didn't have any money.
Yeah.
And it was like, you do what you got to do. Like, you just, you know, we were, because she was a home improvement contractor, you can only imagine the type of work that she would have us do. She used to joke to people and tell them that we were her little work crew. And she wasn't joking. Like, everybody be like, haha, we're like, that's like not even funny, because it's for...
So back when you got your real estate license, mm-hmm. what happened then? Like, what?
Oh, okay. So the kids were little, right? Okay. My husband was, at the time, was, you know, he was not down for me getting my real estate license. Mm-hmm. And again, like... looking back and you know, at through the lens that I, like, my mature brain can see through, I understand where he was coming from. At the time, I was like, what the beep are you talking about? Like, what? Where's the mutual support here, you know? So he basically came from a family where his mom was a stay-at-home mom. His dad worked. So that's the family structure that he had set up.
Right.
And so I think that he just really wanted that for our family. And I did quit my job. I was, when I graduated from college, I majored in information systems. And so I came out of college being a system tester.
Awesome.
And yeah, I was making like 50 grand back then. This is back in 1998, you guys.
Okay.
Like 50 grand was a lot of money.
It's equivalent to 150 grand today.
I mean, right? I know it's up there. So I was bankrolling back then. All right. So then, So long story short, when I got my real estate license, I pretty much had to pay for a nanny or any type of childcare out of my, you know, earnings, because he was like, if that's what you want to do, he was like, if that's what you want to do, you have to support that whole. And yeah, it was tough. It was emotionally hard, you know? And so, but I fought through it because it was something that I really wanted to do. And, you know, I wanted to show my daughter that, like, you know, you can be a working mom. You can, you know, have, you know, a career and be a mother. Like, what's up with, like, thinking anything other than that, right?
You had that drive that you couldn't sustain it. Like I mean, yes, housewife is great, but you just...
You see what I'm saying? Like, you could just tell.
You just had to do it.
I had to do something. Like, I felt like I just... Yeah, I felt like, I needed to get out and I needed to work and I needed to, like... you know, give and serve. That's really where it comes from.
Right.
Like, I know that there's a calling on my life and I haven't always been real clear what it is, mm-hmm. but as I'm getting older, I'm realizing that it really is to just serve. And
right.
so got out into the real estate environment, the marriage hit the rocks, we got a divorce. I ended up, like, we got divorced in 2006, I think, is when the divorce became final. And then 2007 and 8 is when the market hit. I mean, the whole market just went into the shitter.
So you pretty much were doing some investing during like the recession time, and then you still own property now, or?
So I owned quite a bit of properties, and I fixed them all up, and I rented them all out myself, and then I managed them all myself.
Amazing.
Okay, can somebody say burnout? Because that was just so hard. And I started thinking to myself, I tried to think, you know, bigger, and I was like, okay, now I've got so many, I'll just start a property management company, and mm-hmm. I'll hire people to run it, and then they can just manage my properties in there too. And I'll teach them how to get other customers, because I was really good at property management. I mean, I could write a book on property management and how to manage properties and how to interview property management companies if you want to go that route. So, but then, like I said, after I got to a certain point where I did hire a property management company and got burned and learned a lot from that process, mm-hmm. I started to really reevaluate things. I was making a lot of money, but I had no life. I had no social life. I, you know, really wasn't having fun. It was the weirdest thing. I remember looking at, like, my bank account, and, like, the numbers were just getting bigger and bigger.
Wow.
And I was like, okay, I mean, this is all great, but I was like, what if I die tomorrow? Like, where's this money gonna go? Is this money gonna ruin my kids? Is this gonna, like, who's even gonna, like, who, like, what is it all for? Like, if I
right.
can't enjoy my life, like, this is not how, what legacy am I leaving? Like, what? So I started asking myself questions, and I couldn't really give myself satisfactory answers. And that's when I knew something just had to change. I was like, you know what? I need to just, like, upset this whole apple cart. I need to just, and I'm radical. Like, when I make a decision, it's pretty radical. It's like, I execute right away.
Wow.
And so that's when I just started, like, one by one, as soon as the leases were up with certain tenants, I would, you know, put the house up for sale immediately, sell it, and, you know, fix it up, then sell it, whatever I needed to do to sell it. And and that's where I've slowly I sort of had a talk with my future self, and I was like, this is what I need to do now to get where you are, where I want you to be. So we're gonna have to do all this stuff. And I literally did not care, like, how much money I had to give up. Like, it just didn't even matter to me anymore. I was like, I want my life back, I want my time back, I want to live on purpose. And so that's what I did. So now, this is such an exciting time of my life. I'm like, Lord Jesus, please don't let me get hit by a bus now. Like, this is the time where I really am so excited to, like, get up each day, and, you know, every second of my day is mine. Like, every second I get to create, I get to brainstorm, I get to, you know, live on purpose, think about what projects do I want to create, you know, what courses, like, I'm going to be creating some online courses, because I know there are so many people that, you know, are stuck in, like, their 9-to-5 job, Or, you know, they're just not sure how to get from where they are right now to where it is that they want to be. And maybe they don't even have a 9-to-5 job. Maybe they're self-employed, but they really are not, like, thrilled with what they do anymore. But they've become used to having that income, and they've got families now. And so what do they do now? And, like, there's a lot of people that are stuck and struggling, and they're in the dark because they don't know. They don't know certain tools and things like that. And so I want to shine that light in that room for them. My close friends get a lot of, you know, like they're in this, like, so when they have questions or they want answers or whatever, they can have it. But I'm like, I want to share this stuff with other people who may not know me personally, but that can really benefit from it. So I'm in the process, honestly, of just figuring it all out. Like, you know, I got a lot of information in here, but what really makes the most sense to extract and put into an online course? Or, and that's something that I'm going to be doing on Instagram, is kind of like asking, you know, the little bit of followers that I have, hey guys, what do you think? I'm trying to, you know, serve and give back, but I have a lot of life experience, but I'm not sure what, you know, do you think might be some interesting topics that I could expand on? What do you think people might want to know about more? And give them like a multiple choice. Like Instagram just got a new feature with that multiple choice thing.
Yeah.
Right. So I want to try that. Why not? Like ask them and see what they think.
Who are your favorite entrepreneurs?
Gary Vee for sure.
Okay. Yeah.
I love Tony Robbins. Mm-hmm. And pretty much, I got to tell you, I love a lot of these female, you know, online personalities. Yeah. You know, they call them influencers. I call them women who are just fucking driven, who want to, you know, have a business. And so, yeah, I love people who have that, like that drive and that tenacity, you know, to go from nothing. Like some of these people online, they didn't even have fancy mics or fancy cameras or any of that stuff when they started. They just started right where they were. And then as they, you know, got more and more experience, they were able to do more. But it's like, it's all about just kind of starting right where you are. So yeah, I would say, you know, people that I learn a lot. You know what, here's something funny. I learn a lot from the average Joe who got in there, rolled up their sleeves and started a business. Like just the same way I learned from the Gary V's and the Tony Robbins. Wow. Because you know what? At some point in their lives, they were just the average Joe. It's just that they're more mainstream now. More people know about them.
Yeah.
But that doesn't change who they are. They're still Gary V. He's still Tony Robbins. You know what I mean?
It feels like Gary V's not different from when he was like 20 years old.
Yeah, probably not. Probably not. But what I'm saying is, like, so that's from the consumer's perspective.
Mm-hmm.
We're still benefiting from the same sort of skills and knowledge and stories and experiences that the average Joe has. The only reason why he's an average Joe is because not everybody knows about him yet, you see?
Yeah.
But a lot of people know about, you know, the Tony Robbins and the Gary V's of the world. But from a consumer's perspective, we still benefit from learning from all of them, which is beautiful. Yeah.
If you do read business books, what is your favorite business book?
My favorite book right now is Money Master the Game by Tony Robbins, which it will take the average person like me and teach you all about investing, okay, in the market.
Tony Robbins?
Tony freaking Robbins.
I thought he was just a motivational speaker.
No, but get this. This is why I love the information age, you guys. Tony wrote the book, but what he did is he interviewed all the greats: Warren Buffett, Ray Dalio, Jack Bogle, all these people who are gazillionaires. Mm-hmm. He interviewed all of them and asked them questions like you're asking me, and was like, how did you do it? How did you get started? What advice do you give for others? Like all that kind of stuff. And he put it all in this book. This book is like this thick. I've read it like 3 times, and I continue to read it because there's so much good information. So that book changed my financial life. That book changed my financial life. So if there's one book right now that I would recommend to our audiences, it would be to read that book.
Ready for some random questions?
Yes, fire away.
Okay. Which movie you can see again and again?
Thelma and Louise. It's my favorite movie of all time.
What behavior makes you think a person is creepy?
Following me, like physically following me and not telling me, showing up at places where you've premeditated that I would be there.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I would much rather, and let me tell you, I've had some stalkers. I've had some serious, like, had to get the police involved stalkers.
Wow.
I would much prefer someone say to me, reach out to me, because now with social media, you can reach out to anyone.
It's really easy.
And say, you know what, I think you're fucking bomb. I think you're sexy. I think, you know, I just want to take you out to dinner. Can we meet for drink? Like, be fucking straight up. Like, but if you want to, like, take it to a stalker level, like, that shit is never cool. You're never gonna get my affection ever. It's done. Like,
game
once
over.
You cross that line, it's just be straight up and tell me, hey, you know what, I'd love to have coffee with you, because you know what, I'm a very friendly person.
Yeah,
like, I will have coffee with someone on a completely friendship level because I fucking love coffee and I love conversation.
That's
so
good.
Why wouldn't I have coffee with you? Don't understand what I'm saying. If yeah. I have time,
just don't follow me,
just don't fucking just stalk me, man.
Would you rather buy Bitcoin or gold?
Oh, you guys. Damn it. Okay, I'm gonna say gold, and here's why. Because Warren Buffett does not like Bitcoin, and I
he changes his mind slowly.
I know. I'm gonna say gold only because it historically, you know, is proven, it's a commodity, it's tested, we know it's valuable. Bitcoin, it's so new that I'm afraid of it, but I do know people that have, you know, that love Bitcoin, and mad props to them if they're making money with it.
Like,
seriously.
Me. Yeah, which is interesting.
Yeah.
You were talking about, like, the whole real estate market, you feel it.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I feel with crypto. I know what's going to happen.
Really? Oh, yeah. Seriously? Oh,
yeah.
We'll have to talk more about
but
that.
I shouldn't say that, right?
I know. I don't want to jinx it.
What if I fail you? You know? I get sued or something. Okay. If you could only have one kitchen appliance, what would it be?
Dishwasher, baby. Dishwasher.
Wow. That's a good one.
I was just thinking that the other day. It's like, whoever invented the dishwasher should be hugged and kissed by every person who uses the dishwasher.
And laundry.
I love it that much. I really do.
A lot could happen. Well, I think that's it for random questions.
Okay.
How can people reach you online?
Okay, so online, and you guys, I am still figuring out what I can present to you that would be super, you know, useful to you. So if you have any ideas or things that you want me to develop a program around or a course or something, anything you want me to expand on, please reach out to me. So my website is diamondleone.com. That's diamond, just like the ring, and then LEONE.com. But the main place you can find me is Instagram, and it's diamond_Leone. So those are the two places. I don't really get on Facebook hardly at all. It's mostly Instagram. I need to get my ass in gear with LinkedIn. Gary Vee keeps talking about that.
I have not been on
LinkedIn in forever.
It's really good. The algorithm is good. And I think it feels like everyone's on there.
Yeah.
Like, they have a profile. They don't use it.
Right.
But it's a very – I mean – been using it hardcore for the past year, and I've been getting some deals there.
Nice.
And I've been some content, meeting some new people, getting some interviews.
Yeah.
Any closing words?
I just want to say that you gotta listen to your inner voices. Like, and you say, well, Diamond, how, you know, what does an inner voice sound like? It's basically a feeling that you start getting. If you start getting really anxious and stressed at your job or certain situations that you're in, that's your, you know, your subconscious talking to you. It's telling you that whatever you're doing is not, you know, where you should be, kind of thing. And it's pushing you to grow and to make different decisions and to get yourself into a different, you know, alignment with something else. And so that's something that I have learned to pay attention to. Whenever something isn't feeling right to me, or I'm feeling like really stressed about things, and I'm not talking about, like, you know, a one-off, you know, you're about to have a meeting and it's stressful. No, I'm talking about, like, over and over, every day you're plagued by, you know, a stress and anxiety inside you. That's a sign. That's a voice. That's something telling you that, hey, come on, let me nudge you. You got to do something different. And I think deep down inside, we all know. We've lived with ourselves long enough. Like, no one knows you like you. No one knows me like me, right? You know when you're having good days and bad days. You know what internal things are going on in you. So pay attention to those and figure out, you know, if you should be doing something different with your life, and don't waste any time. Like, immediately start paying attention to that. And the way that you figure out what you want to do is you just start experiencing new things. Like, start researching and putting yourself in other situations to see how you fare in those situations. Because that's how you learn. You don't cognitively find your way into your purpose. You feel your way into your purpose by experiencing new things.
I can't find another way to end that podcast.
Awesome.
Diamond, thanks for coming on to the Sleon Productions podcast.
You're welcome. Thank you so much for having me. And thank you guys for watching and listening.